If they feel it bad the night before, yeah. Mama probably.
And that was a CL and what's her name?
Wilson and CL Willoughby and Cleon. His father.
No, but I mean your parents' name was?
Oh, Claude and Bessie.
Claude and Bessie, right. Claude, right. Okay, yeah. And were any of, now they lived there alone when you were working, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they were alone there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you wore those. What kind of shoes did you wear, Clayton?
I tell you, I wore a very expensive slipper, white, that nurses wore.
Oh, really?
And Floyd had so much trouble with his feet standing on all the time of barbering. And that's the first thing he said. Now, Clayton, if you're going to help him with the foods and you're going to work, you need you some good slippers.
Uh-huh. And where did you buy those?
We bought them at Louisville.
Oh, really?
They had several good stores over there.
Uh-huh.
And
they were made out of leather?
Yeah, they soft leather.
Uh-huh. Special store. So you'd buy whatever you needed for that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I did. I'd take care of my feet. That's because I was working on the school, you know.
And did he buy special shoes, too?
Floyd? Uh-huh. Yeah, he had to.
Yeah. His family's feet.
And he had a lot of trouble with his feet the last 2 years, too.
Uh-huh.
They would tire out on his hard Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, and he worked real hard on Saturdays. Oh. Now, he wasn't open on Sundays, was he?
Oh, no, he never opened on Sundays.
But he always stayed open Monday through Saturday.
That's right.
About what time did he close up his shop?
Well, that's the problem, us living here. He never did.
Never closed up.
Well, he'd come. He'd lock it. He'd come around, meet supper, and somebody'd be over his shoulder wanting him to hurry up. Hurry up, Bucky. Hurry up, Bucky. I got to have a haircut. I got to go so-and-so tomorrow and look at it. You know, he'd open back up.
He'd open back up. What time did he normally close? About 5? 6?
About dark.
About dark? Then he'd come over and eat the dinner you had prepared, and sometimes somebody'd want him to cut their hair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably was charging...
It's not a good thing to live in your business.
No, I'm sure it's not. But do you remember what he charged for a haircut when you were working for the railroad?
50 cents.
50 cents.
Uh-huh. He got 50 cents. I think when he first started barbering, he charged 35, he told me.
But that would be at the other place.
Uh-huh, yeah. But 50 cents is what I can remember him charging.
Uh-huh.
And he had a lot of business.
Uh-huh.
Well, we just didn't buy anything on credit. The only time we ever bought anything in our life was he wanted those beautiful combination mirrors that he put in this shop up here that Mr. Dixon, bless his heart, burned us all out to get.
He didn't get the mirrors out, huh? Because they burned?
Oh, no, he just bought them and they was fastened on the wall. He just barely did. They just barely did pull out one of his chairs, you know.
Well, you've given me all kinds of stuff. I want to tell you what I'm planning to do, Clayton.
Okay.
So Billy would be 6 years old in about...
He was born in 31.
He was born in 31, so about 1937, Billy would be 6, and you'd be working for the railroad, and he'd be in first grade?
Yes.
He'd be in first grade. So somewhere around there, 37, 38, 39 even. It'd all be pretty much alike, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Well, that's what I'm going to do. In the morning. If I were going to write a story
I was working at the school.
Well, when you worked at the railroad and the school,
off as I went because I had a train every night that came by about midnight, and I'd stop to see if there was anything perishable. Now, like a lot of people ordered, they made chicks.
Uh-huh.
It's just hatched, you know.
Mm-hmm.
From a big chicken factory, and they'd put them and ship them down here for people that was running. You know, they had a lot of chicken farms at one time. They took that for livelihood, you know.
Okay, let's pick a date. You started work for the railroad when?
Well, just 1 second, and I'll tell you.
I think I wrote that down.
I have it somewhere.
Probably 1930s.
Yeah, he's in the 30s, all right. Because
and you
I had Billy, and Billy was born in 31.
Let's say you were living here then.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yes,
you were
I
living
was.
Here on this
uh-huh.
corner.
I was living
here. Okay, what time would you get up in the morning?
I think I got up at 6.
Okay, you got up at 6.
I got up at 6.
And did you fix breakfast?
Oh, yes.
What breakfast did you fix? What did you fix for breakfast?
Always fixed bacon and scrambled eggs and hot biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the canned biscuit then.
Mm-hmm. And this was for Floyd and Bill.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That was all free. I was mm-hmm. to eat a good, substantial breakfast. It's what you are through the day is
mm-hmm.
what you eat that morning.
Mm-hmm. Now, you would fix breakfast,
uh-huh.
and they would eat,
uh-huh.
and Floyd would go off to the barbershop?
Right up here at the front, and then...
Uh-huh. Now, that's when the barbershop was originally in your house.
Yes, it was.
And uh-huh. he would get to the uh-huh. that part of the barbershop by just going through a door into the front.
No, it had to be closed. Well, I'll show you exactly what it was. From here, uh-huh. and this was the front door. Then he'd come out this front door here. We don't use this now because
uh-huh.
I don't want the front doors, you know, for me being here by myself.
Uh-huh.
So I've got that locked all the time. And he'd go out there and go over to the shop.
So he'd go outside and come in the front door?
And he'd go into his front door.
Uh-huh.
He'd
so,
have a
okay.
key to that, you know.
Okay.
This was solid here. That was state law. You could have a business in your house,
mm-hmm.
but it couldn't have any opening between the house
mm-hmm.
and the business.
Now, what time would he go to his barber shop?
Well, to get out of our way and us getting ready, you know, to go to work and everything, after he'd eat breakfast, I guess, he'd go on out there and open it up.
About maybe 7?
Yeah, I'd say so, because he had all day to come back in, and he'd shave off the shop,
uh-huh.
you know, had all that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, what kind of stove did he have in his barber shop?
I think he burned coal at first.
Coal?
It was the nasty stuff in the world. Then he began to buy wood and got a wood stove in there.
Mm-hmm. With a great big stove pipe?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Up and out.
With yeah. the coal and the wood, you know.
Now, that was a great big tall ceiling, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty tall. It's about like this.
Was it? Okay. All right. He had one barber chair.
Yes.
Right? One barber chair.
No, he always had two. Because he and Lloyd worked together mm-hmm. so much.
Now, was Lloyd working with him when he came here, when you were working for the railroad?
No,
did Lloyd?
No. Whenever the shop burned down here,
mm-hmm.
and it had a real nice... Lloyd was 2 years of paying out a combination mirror.
That mirror, you told me that.
2 years.
But then he brought both chairs down here, but Lloyd didn't work with him?
No, Lloyd didn't work. That was... Yeah, I don't know. Lloyd didn't work here. He just worked there.
So what did Lloyd start doing when he stopped being a barber?
Oh, he farmed. When he married, he farmed 1 year with his daddy.
Uh-huh.
Lived in that little rent house in Mr. Harville's down there.
Uh-huh.
He and Myrtle lived down there. And he went back to barbering.
Did he?
And he barbered in Louisville for mm-hmm. a long time. They lived over there.
So you think Floyd brought the two chairs from down there and brought them here? So you think he still had two chairs even though Lloyd wasn't working with him?
Well, I think so. I think he kept two all the time because mm-hmm. he had such a business. And Lloyd would help him sometimes on Saturday
mm-hmm.
when he was farming even, mm-hmm. best I can remember.
Now, is that when Floyd had baths?
No, he had that in the little shop that burned. Mr. Dickerson owned the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
He was renting the building,
mm-hmm.
but from Grandpa Harrison, and then Floyd was renting the barber shop where he had his barber shop in there from Grandpa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to Mr. Dixon. And one morning at 2:00, and Floyd, they woke us up and told us the shop was burning down.
Mm-hmm.
The Dixons had already burned. It was just full, they said, of some kind of gas or kerosene or something.
because the first people that heard it when something exploded, they woke up there close and ran over there, you know, and got Floyd up, and he went up there to see it, and they knocked down his Floyd's front door and got his chair out, got one chair out. And Floyd always brought his tools home at night. And we lived in the Bill Corbin house out there. You remember how it looked before they tore it down.
Right.
Uncle Ernest built the new.
You lived in one side of it.
We lived in one side. We had it all rented a lot of times and had to sub-rent one side to Ida and Duncan most of the time in different ones.
But so Floyd would leave here in the morning and go out and open up his barber shop, start a fire, and you had, what kind of fire did you have here in the house?
I had the same thing whenever he was burning coal, like we was burning coal in here. And then when he went to wood, we had wood in here.
One wood stove. A fireplace?
No,
we
never did have a fireplace down here. Just a stove pipe.
Did you just have one big stove for the whole house in here?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you cooked on?
Oh, no, that was our heating stove. No, we had kerosene. We burned the kerosene to cook with.
Did
you ever see one of those stoves?
I don't think so.
And it had a tank at the end. It should hold a gallon of coal, we call it. We want a gallon of coal when we take a little can, you know. And it'd fill that up. And we'd turn that bottle over then, put it in there, and it'd go down through those burners. That's what we had.
So that's what you cooked breakfast on.
That's what we cooked our meals on. And then we sit by the wooden and coal stoves, you know, whatever ones have one. We didn't stay at coal very long. It was too messy, and it was higher than wood even.
Where did you have to buy coal from?
I don't remember. I don't remember who brought that.
Now, when you needed to buy coal oil, where did you go to buy it?
Up the store.
Just up here at the corner?
Either one of the stores.
At,
they had two grocery stores, and they all kind of sold coal oil.
So one store would be on the left-hand side of the road down here. That would be whose store?
Well, Mr. Uncle Bill Stringfellow.
Stringfellow owned it then.
He had a big store, and one side of his was dry goods. Get the prettiest materials and lace and ribbons and everything. And
the other side was what? A grocery store?
The other store was a big grocery store.
And on the right-hand side of the road was another grocery store?
Well, they had two grocery stores a lot of times at the same time.
But you said you remembered two grocery stores.
I sure did.
Do you remember where the other one was?
One of them was, they're just facing each other.
So across the street from Stringfellow's store. Okay. And you went to shop usually at Stringfellow's store?
Yeah, they had more to select from. We did most of our trading.
So after you cooked breakfast, and was Bill old enough to go to school? Later he was.
Yes.
While you were working, he was in school, I guess.
Yes, when I started work, he was in school.
Now, he would go to school where? Down, where did he go to school?
Right over here.
In
that school that
in
burned.
In that school that burned, over there where Pinkerton is now.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's where he started school at right there.
All right. And so after, he probably wouldn't leave for school until, what, 8 o'clock? Something like that. So when did you leave for work?
Well, he went when I did. He went with me.
Okay.
The place riding up. I don't know whether we even had buses then or not. I guess we
so did. You would, how would you get to work? You'd go out the front door.
I went out my front door out here, and we had a car. And I learned to drive. I've been driving a good long time to go up to the railroad track to meet the trains.
Now, what kind of car was it, Clayton?
What kind of car?
Well,
I think it was a Ford, and I think it was just a two-door Ford. Two-door. What they call a cube. The first one I remember us having. And I know we carried a whole bunch of little boys to the show up at Grapevine on family night. We could all get in as many as you could carry for like a quarter.
Really?
Everybody could go. And we'd put them everywhere. I'd hold them and we'd stack them in the back of the trunk back there, you know, and everything. Then Floyd finally traded and got an old two-seated Ford, you know.
Now, what night was family night?
Is that Monday night?
Monday night.
Bad
you could,
night show.
You could get as many as you could bring in on for 25 cents.
Yes, that's right.
On Monday night.
That's at kids' night.
Now, what kind of show would you see? Do you remember what kind of movie you'd see?
Just one of these, you know.
Silent movies?
Silent movies. It's years before they had one. And we didn't have time to read all the words, but oh, we had more fun. William Osborne Corbin always went and helped tend to the kids.
Now, what was his name? William?
William Osborne Corbin.
William
Osborne
Corbin. Corbin. William Osborne.
He's still living. Still living in Oak Cliff.
Is he?
Uh-huh.
And he was... he lived here in town?
Lived right over here beside the Cudmany Nicks was his grandma, you know.
Oh, I see. I see.
And the second house across the branch. First one was Cudmany.
Uh-huh.
And every morning, we didn't need no alarm. Clara, that was William Osborne's mother, she'd come out in the backyard, and she said, Mama! And they'd talk across the field.
Oh, really?
And it'd wake us up, you know.
Mama. Now, what was her name?
Clara Corbin, and cousin Minnie Nix was her mother. Minnie Nix was Clara Corbin.
Now, Minnie Nix lived in this house that was the Thompson house.
That faced this way, and I had the porch running this
and
way.
And she and...
And Miss Clara. Miss Clara was her daughter. She had two children. Bill Nix, the first male.
So that was the Clara Corbin house, the white one that's still there. Is it?
Yeah.
Across from the library, where the library was.
Yes.
The
old library. Let's see, is it still there? No.
The building's still there. You know, the library's not there, but the building. So they would talk across the way every morning. And he'd wake you up?
Mama. Yes, Clara. She'd come out with a little apron on. You know, she lived alone. Lauren died about the time Florida and I married.
So her son, who was William Osborne Corbin.
Clara's only child was William Osborne.
How old was he when he would go to the movies with you?
He'd about eight.
Oh,
eight years old.
And he'd help you get all the kids on the truck, on the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'd go up the front door and you'd would Floyd get the car out? Where'd you keep the car?
Side of our house somewhere down, of course, you know, in the garage.
And when he started for a year, would you just go out and start it and go?
When I was working?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he'd always start it. Uh-huh. And in the winter, always had it warmed up.
Did he have to crank it up, or?
I don't remember.
And he'd start it up for you and warm it up?
And warm it up.
Warm it up.
Had anything warm it with. At first, I don't think there's any heaters in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you what he'd do. On the days, twice a month, I made out my report, my 2-week report each time.
Mm-hmm.
And Floyd would go up there on Saturday morning, and heat it up. They had the best big old coal stove in a building up there full of coal, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is at the railroad.
At the railroad. Mm-hmm. And Floyd would have that so warm and comfortable. And Billy and I, we used to take us a little snack and stay till I'd get through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd carry his little dog and played with him inside.
What was the dog's name?
Snip, little Snip. We kept him about 15 years. And we didn't know he was blind. And I noticed he's running into things. And he thought he was falling belly, and he got in the road, and it wasn't much traffic, but somebody run over him and liked to kill him. But he couldn't see.
Yeah.
They determined that after he died. Yeah.
So, every other Saturday then, twice a month, you would take Billy on Saturday, and if it was a cold day, Floyd would go warm up the thing. And you'd go and stay, what, all morning?
Half a day.
And you'd do your report?
Every bit of it, and mail it in. You know, I had my box up there and everything. Trains would stop and pick up my mail.
And leave mine,
you know.
Now, what kind of reports did you do? How much freight arrived and all that
Everything. Every day what I was shipped in, and I shipped out a lot of things. I'll tell you, what killed me was when I started shipping boys' suitcases that had to go in service. That was such a sad
You mean when you had to ship them out of here or when they had to come back in?
No, when I shipped them out to them, you know. The things they couldn't carry with them.
So that would be during World War One.
Uh-huh.
During World War One.
The end. Of,
and you'd ship them all the way over to where, France or somewhere?
Just wherever they've gone.
You were overseas.
Overseas.
Okay, now if it wasn't Saturday, it was just a normal routine day,
uh-huh.
and you'd take Billy, you called him Billy.
We called him Billy, but now we call him Bill.
Yeah, and you would take him first over to school, so you'd drive down the street and around, or would he, would
no,
you,
you'd
I stop off?
No, I never take him to school and come back.
You'd stop
I'd
off
I'd just first. Stop and see and leave him in the car, and I'd run in, and then I would know if I had a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And then when we get dinner on, I'd come back and work a while he's
so,
at school.
So you would stop there beside the railroad depot,
uh-huh,
on this side of the railroad tracks, and you would unlock the door.
That
yeah.
That last one,
yeah. And you'd unlock the door,
uh-huh,
and go in there. Now this was the little depot.
Yeah.
Right? This was the little
one. No, I started in the big one.
You did start in the big one.
Oh, it was so
now
nice.
When you worked in the big one, was Billy, had he been born yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's talk about when you used to go in the big one.
Uh-huh.
You'd unlock the right or the left-hand side?
The single door.
Single
it would
door?
Be about what left one. If
left.
Facing south. It would be,
mm-hmm,
the first one on this end.
Uh-huh.
And
okay,
it was double doors and a big deck there where they'd slide in suitcases,
mm-hmm,
trunks, boxes of baby chickens, plants and everything, trees,
uh-huh,
and everything else. And lock them up there.
Lock them up. So that's on the. So as you face the doors,
uh-huh,
it'd be the one on the left,
uh-huh,
the closest one to the west.
That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So you'd go in there and see what was there.
I'd see what was there.
Sometimes it was chickens.
Uh huh. Sometimes it was trees or bushes in the spring.
Oh, really?
Well, uh-huh, the chickens came in the spring too. And then, or it would be somebody's clothes shipped back, you know, that things that they didn't need when they got into service that,
uh-huh,
they'd send back.
Uh-huh.
And all just different things.
Okay.
I had them. I'd have to send out, if there's anything perishable, I'd have to call them. I'd have,
mm-hmm,
to go to the telephone and call them. But if it's a suitcase thing, I dropped them a card and went out on the route.
Oh,
see,
okay.
I had, this route went clear on out to,
mm-hmm,
where, halfway to Irving, you,
mm-hmm,
know.
Now, if you had to mail, them a card, it was like a postcard, and you just, what would you say on it?
I'd tell them that it had some express
to pick up, and then you'd take it, you'd bring it back to the post office.
Yes, uh-huh. I didn't mail anything but railroad mail up there,
mm-hmm,
in the box.
So where was the post office that you would come to mail it?
Right, right, Miss Minnie McGee's. Are exactly where Jack Kirkland pulled all that concrete out.
Right there where that old drugstore was.
Exactly where the old drugstore was.
Now, that, was that drugstore already there?
Yes.
And so that's where the post office was, in her store.
In there. She had the drugstore and the post office all in,
mm-hmm,
one.
So
know?
It was all in there. Okay.
And her husband got blown up. It was,
mm-hmm,
out.
Okay, so you, then you would mail them a card, or if it was perishable, you'd go to the phone and call.
I had to call.
Now, where did you go to a phone?
Well, we had one in the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm,
and I'd use it most of the time,
mm-hmm,
or if I was on the way home, I would stop at one of the stores and,
mm-hmm,
use theirs.
Okay.
They never did care until,
okay,
we could get one out safe. We got one as quick as we could.
Yeah. Now, what kind of phone was it? How, what did you ring it or,
yeah,
turn the crank?
Like, yeah, like a one long. I think our first telephone number was one long and three shorts.
Yeah.
And if I was calling back home from Florida, I'd ring it a long time, and then three little short ones, you know,
uh-huh,
or two little short ones.
So you'd ring it yourself. There wasn't an operator?
Oh, no. Well, yes, but we didn't have to go through the operator.
Oh, you didn't?
A lot of places, a lot of times, wherever we, according to where we were.
Uh-huh.
But we'd have to ring the operator. And just one long ring,
uh-huh,
you know, she'd say, it's a number, please. Then we'd tell her what we want, then she'd ring it.
She'd ring it.
But if it's somewhere where I could, you know, didn't have to, I'd just ring with my ring myself, you know.
Uh-huh. Do you remember where the operator was in Coffeyville? What her name was or anything like that?
Well, the first thing I remember is in the front part of this right here,
mm-hmm,
and they lived in the back.
But that was before you moved here.
Oh, yeah, before I moved here,
yes,
but I lived in the Bill Corbin house where,
yeah,
Bill was born.
Yeah. So at the time you were living here, though, the telephone, mm-hmm, operator was probably where? Up
moved it up there by, in the last house before the
Esther's Road.
Esther Road, right.
So that would be that house we were talking about with the big front porch on it.
Exactly right.
And you don't remember her name?
Yes. The first person that took it was Claire Smith.
Claire Smith.
Claire Smith.
So sometimes you could just do one long ring and get Claire on the phone and tell her what number you wanted and she'd put you through.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, so when you go to the railroad station, you go in and be warm in the wintertime because Floyd warmed it up for you. And you'd work for, you wouldn't normally, you just look to see what was there.
I didn't even need a fire any time when I was doing my report.
Then you'd lock back up. You'd lock back on a normal day when you weren't doing your report. You'd lock back up and get in the car, and you and Billy would go over to the school.
Yes. Then we'd stop again. There'd be another train come by during the day while it was over there, And two a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see if they'd left anything, and they wouldn't have to go back.
Okay.
But if it wasn't no school, well, I'd be up there right after the train and be blowing, coming down the hill from Grapevine going this way of evening. I'd rush up there and see.
So in the mornings, when you got there in the mornings, the train had come from which direction? Did it come in the middle of the night or the morning?
It came in the night, the wonderful
morning. Did it come from Grapevine?
No, I think it was coming toward Grapevine at night because the two of the daytime was coming this way.
Okay, so one came before you got there in the morning, and then another came about what time?
About middle of the day.
Middle of the day, and then another came, another one still came that afternoon?
About 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, and they both came from Grapevine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you would stay at school all day, and you would cook lunch for the lunchroom. Now, what kind of food would you normally cook in the lunchroom?
We always had good menus and good food. Big pots of red beans with chili in it lots of times. Chili beans, you know, made from scratch. And big pones of cornbread. Spinach greens, something green to go with it. Or lettuce, tomato salad. And then a big banana pudding or something.
Did you make rolls?
Yeah, we made rolls a lot. And you know, remember Miss Scott. You remember Mr. Miss Scott.
Yeah, that lived up here.
Built a little house of that up there.
Did she help you?
Oh, yes, she was a wonderful cook.
So you usually had two cooks working in there all the time?
Oh, always two.
And so you cooked bread?
We had 89 pupils to cook for the first year that I started.
Oh, really?
89.
Do you remember their names, any of their names? Do you remember any kids in particular who would come in there and like your eat food?
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but I could, you know, go back and think about what year it was, and maybe.
So they'd all come in there all at once? They'd eat all at once?
Uh-huh.
Now, what was the room like where you cooked and where they ate?
This was another classroom. And they'd come in there and get their place and go and sit in these places. We didn't have enough pupils for this one room there. And we'd cook in one end of it. And then the other part, they would just go and sit down at a desk and eat there, you know.
So it was really just a classroom?
It was a classroom that we was cooking in when we first started.
Yeah, did they make a lunchroom later on?
Oh, yeah, they built it outside. The first little...
It was a separate little building.
Uh-huh.
I remember, that's probably where I started school.
Where you started, right there. Had a long kitchen at the end, and then a big, enough to hold 100 pupils.
With tables and benches.
And tables and benches.
Now when you first started cooking there, you say it was a classroom. Well, when you were cooking in there, then they couldn't have classes.
No, they didn't have classes in there when we were cooking.
Yeah, so maybe they had classes in the afternoon or something.
They'd come out there to draw maps, things, or where they'd have to concentrate on something in quietness. Mm-hmm. They'd use it. But that didn't last but a year or two, too. They fixed us a nice lunchroom.
Now, there weren't that many classrooms in that building, were there, when you first started cooking there?
In the school?
Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't, but just one big one that they wasn't using in the brick building at Burns, There was just one big room that they weren't using. There wasn't enough children.
And so there were...
And And Ray Hand was the first one that was the principal.
So Ray Hand was the principal when you first started cooking then?
He sure was. He's the first boss I had.
So within, what, a year or so after you started cooking, they built another little room out back, another little building
a
out
little
back?
A little building later. I don't know how
for
soon,
you to cook in.
I don't think we had to use that one more than 2 years at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was a classroom made into a dining room and kitchen.
Now, what kind of stove did you cook on there?
We cooked on a... I don't know whether we had gas in or not.
Was this a stove they had moved into this classroom to use?
I think it was. Mm-hmm. I guess it was kerosene. But I don't remember ever filling up on a gallon jug that you used on.
What was the, what did you like to cook the most? What was your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, I'll tell you, I love to fry salmon croquettes. That's one thing the children like.
Uh-huh.
And boiled pinto beans. Oh, they love that.
Uh-huh.
And cream potatoes was one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hard at all then. There wasn't very many children, you know.
Now, where did the food come from? Was it delivered to the school?
Yes, most of it's commodities the government sent.
Oh,
that's how we could fix good meals for 10 and 15 cents, you see.
That's what it cost the kids to eat?
Yeah, man.
10, 15 cents.
And the ones that couldn't pay for it, and when the Fullers were here, you know, they would have Mr. and Mrs. Fuller, Travis Fuller and Ophelia. Well, they saw that the children, they'd turn in their names, it wasn't eating, and they saw that all of them had hot lunches.
Yeah, they were, the Fullers lived here?
They lived over here. We rented two rooms from Cummins and Nick's.
Oh, really? Now, did they have a lot of money? Is that why they paid? Why did they pay for the kids that couldn't afford it?
Well, they didn't pay for it. They just rode in and got the free tickets. They took care of them.
Oh, I see. How come they were taking care of it? Did they work for the school?
Well, they were the two head of it.
Oh,
Mr. Fuller was the principal, and she was...
Oh, Mr. Fuller was the principal?
He was the principal.
Oh, I see. This is after Ray Hand.
Yes, this is right after Ray Hand. See, some of the members out there did not, Brother Hand was just there 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want him to work at anything but the church. And they grumbled all that year, you know how bad these are.
So he was only principal for a year, then Fuller.
And then he quit.
To Fuller.
He was sub-teacher. If the teachers were out sick, well, they'd call him. He'd pick up a little extra money.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd about starve to death on what we had to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I can imagine.
And he just got this job of teaching school.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, they just didn't want it at all. They wanted him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, and I didn't see anything wrong with that.
So you would cook until lunch, and about what time would everything be over? What time would the kids be finished eating?
12 o'clock noon, they'd come in.
They'd come in
and it'd all be out before 1 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Uh-huh. And then you had to wash dishes?
Yeah, and you know what washed them in?
Uh-uh.
In wash tubs.
Uh-huh.
Heated the water in great big containers that would boil these beans and things in.
Uh-huh.
About 10 gallons.
Uh-huh.
From a 5 to 10 gallons pans.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd heat the water and
mm-hmm.
put it over in a wash tub. And then we had to have the water just below boiling to scald. We kept one pan on going all the time. We had to go through that 2 or 3 years before we got the running water and everything we could sterilize.
Well, now, before you got running water, you mean you didn't have water faucets or anything?
They're outside, just outside the building.
Oh, I see.
For the children out on the playground, and they'd come out there, you know, to get their water, you know, with their little folding cups, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'd just go out there and take the first year, we'd just go out there. And it happened that right beside of this kitchen and dining room that they ate in, this little white house, there was the hydrants, two or three hydrants out there.
Yeah, was it sort of in front?
It was the side. It was the building was in the shape of an L, and it was kind of out of the weather. It was in the corner of this L, you know, right up against the building.
Uh-huh. And so you'd go out there and get water and bring it in and heat it. And wash the dishes. Now, what were the dishes? Were they glass dishes?
Yes, they were.
So every kid would have a plate, and what did they drink?
They drank milk from Leslie's Dairy.
Really?
Sammy Leslie's Dairy. He delivered it every day. Then he got where it was in bottles, and they had a little bottle. And then we didn't even have to arrange them, just put them back in the box, you know, and he'd pick them back up.
So originally he'd deliver milk in big cans?
And big cans.
Then you put it into pitchers?
And pitchers and pour it over in the glass.
And so they had to wash. So you usually had to wash silverware in a plate and a glass for
you
every
bet.
Kid.
You every meal, every day at dinner. And then we served the milk of the morning, middle of the morning, too.
Oh, really? In a glass first, and then later in bottles?
Yes, before they started to put them in the little bottles.
Now, were these little bottles that had the cardboard stoppers on them?
Yes, that's it.
Should open up? Okay. Those probably didn't come along until maybe the 40s, didn't they?
No, I don't imagine they did.
Because I remember I had those when I started school. We had milk in little glass bottles, and then later we got them in the cardboard.
That's right.
Yeah, stuff. How did you keep the milk cool?
We had a great big refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. You kept everything in there?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. You had a little storage room off there,
a
I remember.
A big storage room. Because we get these commodities shipped in, you know.
In big cans? And
sacks of potatoes. Sacks of sweet potatoes, sacks of marsh potatoes, whatever was the... That was... They were... In the most, you know, they were
in season.
In season and doing good. The potatoes, onions, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They would be shipped to the sent to the school.
Now you said you used the telephone. Was it in the principal's office?
Yeah, we had two principal's office.
Okay.
One telephone in the school.
Yeah. And was it the kind that mounted on the wall?
Yes,
up on the wall.
The first year or two was on the wall, and then they got one that sat there on the counter.
Okay, now, when you got finished about, what time did you usually finish washing up and getting everything put away?
By 1:30.
1:30? And then you'd get in your car, and you'd go back to the depot.
That's right.
And you'd check and see if that train had left anything
for
you.
That's right.
And you'd either call or send out post... postcard.
That's what I did.
And then you come home?
And I'd come on home. I'd sleep for the day.
Yeah. And what about that train that came in the late afternoon? Did you just wait till the next morning?
I didn't do anything. We just got out on Fort Sheep. It stopped a long time. If it just blew coming down the hill and there wasn't anything to put off and I didn't have a flag out that I had something I was, I had a flag there that I was shipping out.
Uh-huh.
Why, it just slowed down just almost to a stop, but it didn't stop. It just went on, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
if it didn't stop, you didn't need... What if it did stop? Did you have to go out there in the evening?
Yeah, I'd go in the evening.
You'd go in the evening and see if
it's... Chief is Pearson.
Mm-hmm. That'd be about what time?
As people got to order old hunting dogs, and I just thought didn't want an animal to stay up all night with
hunting dogs.
There was some dogs came in, some... hunting dogs. What kind of are these? Just a minute.
Bird dogs?
Some kind of bloodhounds.
Yeah.
Would come in and different things like that.
And they'd actually ship them on the railroad?
They had a in their crate and they had a fix where if they were dangerous you couldn't get bit by them because they had it where you used long ways to pour in the water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they're going to have to stay all night at the depot, I'd always take water and water them.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no danger of them getting your hand or anything because it's made that way from on the train to take care of that.
Well, now tell me, Clay, since you came home after 1:30, did you go back and pick up Billy? How did he get home?
At school?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever having to go back and pick him up.
Maybe he rode home with somebody or walked. Think he walked?
He didn't walk from school because he went over there to school. He went out here.
You think Floyd picked him up?
You know that little fella had a bicycle. He was 7 years old. I think he rode his bicycle.
Rode his bicycle.
He's one of the first little boys. He and his little friend, Kenneth Woods, they have a little bicycle piece.
Mm-hmm.
and there wasn't much traffic.
Was Kenneth Woods the same age as he was? Okay.
I'll tell you.
Now, where did you get his bicycle?
I don't know.
Maybe bought it at Grapevine?
I imagine so. That's where we get all of our traffic.
What was the store up there?
It's still there.
Yates Dry Goods?
No. This was a hardware store.
Yancey's?
Huh?
Yancey's?
No. Just a minute, I'll see. He's still up there. A great-grandson's still up there of them.
Hmm.
They've been in business for years up there. And so we're on this left-hand side of the street. Oh, I know it just well as doing my own name. I go up there for Christmas and buy things. And they had a big hardware store and had all these tricycles and bicycles and everything out there.
Hmm.
And,
Well, you'll think of it.
Uh-huh. Wood.
And the name was Wood General Store?
W-O-O-D, Wood.
Wood General Store?
Uh-huh. Hardware Store.
Wood Hardware Store.
Uh-huh.
All right, now, what about Floyd's lunch? Since you were gone, did he fix his own lunch?
He fixed his own lunch. Because I hardly ever had time for morning to fix anything, then I fixed a real good evening lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Supper. I fixed a supper when I'd get in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'd always fix little fried pies. People used to make fried pies and put fruit in them. Fruit seemed too high now to look at, much less I make fried pies.
Uh-huh.
I imagine it cost $1 to fix 2 fried pies.
Uh-huh.
But then we'd buy a lot of dried peaches or apples or any kind of good fruit, and I'd steam that and put the sugar in it, mash it up, and then I'd keep the crust made all the time, and I'd roll it out in the morning, make little fried pies for him for his dinner, fruit pies, you know, or then butter rolls and things like that.
So you'd sort of leave some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Did he make something else, or did he just eat what you'd left for him?
Oh, well, he liked time. He scrambled, if it's cold, he'd scramble him a bunch of eggs, fry bacon, and fix him a quick snack.
Uh-huh.
He'd
stay open in his barbershop all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And did he usually have regular business, or were there days where he didn't have any business?
Oh, there's lots of zeros in his books. His children have all, they call him Paul's, everything. He'd put down a big zero. He kept a diary of everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time, when he had to go to filling out forms at the end of the year, what they call this, and have to send his report in, and everybody had to pay, if they made over so much, they had to pay so much. What was that called?
Income tax?
Income tax. That wasn't what they called it then. That's what it was. Income tax. They had to do that. And he kept all that down, exactly. And he put what temperature, he just kept a diary every day.
Mm-hmm.
He had hours on hand to keep everything down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's so interesting. They found, Mark is 30 now. And Shirley was turning through when I gave him the books and everything up there. When I was redoing my house and getting rid of so much, many things that I had just stacked up in the closets, I gave it to the children because they have a great big attic upstairs, you know, fixed for to store things. And Shirley said, listen at this, Bill, listen at this. Said, the happiest day of my life was October the 24th, 19-something. I don't know how long ago, 30 years ago it was, but anyway, said, Shirley and Bill have presented me with a big, fine grandson. That was Mark. Just worshipped him.
Uh-huh.
We did. We just had to watch ourselves. We just idolized him. And then 7 years later, Todd was born. There's 7 years difference in the boys. But we just loved that Mark to death.
Well, now tell me, when you would get home then in the early afternoon, you would then what, proceed to clean up the house or cook dinner?
Yes.
Something like that?
And then have to wash out things, honey, and wash out her clothes.
Now, where did you do your washing? Did you have did you do it indoors?
No, no indoors for a long, long time till they put in the first laundromat over here. Nora and Jick Van Bibber put that first one in, mm-hmm. the best I remember.
Mm-hmm. So you would do it outside? You would have a pot outside?
Yeah, to do my general washing on a pretty day, I had mm-hmm. a wash pot. And Floyd would always fix a fire and keep it going.
Just a wood fire underneath it?
A wood fire. And just if we was riding around and looking for rabbits or anything, you know, the evenings on the weekends, well, if we'd see any dead wood that's mm-hmm. fallen off trees at in the ditches and mm-hmm. wasn't anybody's property, we'd pick it up, you know, to put on the wash pot.
Uh-huh. And when you said looking for rabbits, you mean to shoot?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He'd always put his gun in and tell mm-hmm. them, dress them for his bird dogs, you know.
Oh, for them to eat?
For them to eat. Uh-huh. We didn't eat the rabbits.
Did he go hunting a lot with his bird dogs?
Oh.
What did he hunt for? Quail?
Quail. And that's the best eating in the world. Mm-hmm. There's been fried chicken. It had uh-huh. a sweeter taste.
Mm-hmm. Where did he go hunting?
Usually way out from the other side of Grapevine.
Oh, I see. On the west side of Grapevine.
Yeah, west side of Grapevine.
You said that at the railroad depot you put a flag out. Was it a flag on a rope? And you're putting it out like this? Or?
No, sir. It was just made on up over the outside mailbox. They didn't have to unlock from my mail that mm-hmm. came from Tyler and everywhere in all my forms to fill out and everything. Mm-hmm. I had a big box that's made there. And up over this box, it was a wooden flag like. And if I had something from pick up, mm-hmm. it would point a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd turn it when there wasn't, you know,
was
when I
painted,
get out.
Was it painted red?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's red, white, and blue, the best I can remember.
How big was it?
It's about that big.
About 6 inches square.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I'd see it either way coming. Either way, you know, it'd be right mm-hmm. that one.
Mm-hmm.
The way it pointed, you see.
Now, Miss Harwell, when you would, when you'd be on your way to school in the morning,
uh-huh.
when you'd be on the way to the depot,
uh-huh.
what would these streets look like? Would the stores be open by the time you got ready to go out?
Oh, yes, they'd mm-hmm. be open and people stopping there buying things.
In their cars?
In their cars or walking or in the buggies or wagons.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they were taking kids to school in.
Mm-hmm. So they'd stop there sometimes in the morning too?
Sure, and buy something.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, you'd pass the two grocery stores.
One on each side.
You'd go around the drugstore.
I'd go right around.
Would you pass people walking on the sides of the street?
Yeah, children, a lot of children walk to school.
Where did most of them come from? Did they come from over the Bethel school area, the old Bethel area, and walk up this way, or did they come from this direction?
Yes, the ones that walking from that front that was big going this way was from around in here.
Uh-huh.
And then their parents would bring them in buggies or wagons or cars that was further out, you know.
Uh-huh. So most of the ones you'd see walking would be coming from north
uh-huh.
out here, down Coffeyville Road, going toward the school. They'd be carrying their school books with them?
Yeah.
Did some of them ride bicycles?
Yeah, some of them had bicycles, but not very many at first.
Did some of these kids bring their lunches?
Oh, you bet.
Bring them in sacks?
Yeah, till Fuller's began to check, you know, and tell them, say, now, if you'd like to eat a hot lunch, I'll see that you get one.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd talk to the parents,
mm-hmm.
and they'd just get to the bottom. They were really good. Travis Nofilia Fuller was really good to take care of the children.
Mm-hmm. How long was he principal?
I don't know.
A long time?
A long time they were here.
So was Ham the first one that you remember?
He was just, I think he was just the first one here that whenever they got ready to open up the school over here and it wasn't out here anymore,
mm-hmm.
I think that Brother Ham taught that first year over mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure.
And then the second one was Fuller.
Was Fuller's for years and years.
You remember who was after him?
As well, old guy. I don't remember his name right now, but he was something else. He and his wife taught a long time, and they lived in the auditorium of the school. You know,
oh, really?
They slept there. because I live down way down in West Texas somewhere, and they'd go home every Friday evening and load up the car, you know, and they'd eat out in the lunchroom and fix their breakfast out there and things.
Oh, really?
And they slept there.
So this old school, or this school where you worked, had an auditorium. Let me see. Right after you started cooking for the school and working at the railroad, who were your close friends? Who were yours employed close friends?
We were close friends with the Scots, you know.
And their names were?
Estes and Vestas Nestas.
Was it Vestas Nestas?
Just about that. Mm-hmm. I always called her Scots, you know, because I have good thing for first name.
But his name was Vestas?
Vestas was his name.
Okay, Vestas Scott and his wife. Any other friends?
Yeah.
Who was your
friends?
Well, you knew Jack then?
Oh, way across. Miss Kirkland helped us raise Billy. Good gracious, she'd see a light on over here at midnight. If it stayed on over 15 minutes, she'd tell us. She'd say, now, if I ever see a light over there, she slept right in that front window. That was her bed right there at that front window. And she never did go to sleep after Bill and Billy Kirkland, Hubert and Lars Billy, got grown old enough to drive a car. She never did go to sleep till after they'd get in at night. She'd watch when Bill pull in the driveway, then she'd go to sleep at 1 o'clock. 12:30, and around the corner would be Billy Kirkland, and she wouldn't go to sleep till it was both then. She didn't know she was a light sleeper anyway. But then at night, when Billy was little, when he was a baby, if she'd see that light on over here, we had electricity then, you know, and had that light on. If she'd see this the house lit up more than 15 minutes, she'd come over. If it's cold weather, she'd put a big robe on over her gown, and if it was just medium weather, she'd just come with a nightgown on, walking across. Now, what's wrong with that baby?
Her name was Mrs. Kirkland.
Aunt Jenny Kirkland.
Aunt Jenny and Uncle John Kirkland. That's Aunt Jack's parents.
Her mother and dad. And her mother was just, she had doctor's books at home, you know, she studied.
So she helped you with
and
him.
And she went out
sick.
With her nephew, Mr. Dr. Jesse Bennett, that you was reading something about where his house was. Well, that was her own nephew, and she went with him and helped deliver babies lots of times. She's just like a doctor. She'd get in that buggy and wrap up, you know, and here they'd go in the night.
And now the buggy would have, what, one horse?
One horse buggy.
And they'd go together.
They'd go together, and she'd always tell him.
Now, where did he live?
Right
when
down
was
the
office?
Street where Coach lived, so that was where he, where I remembered him living. I think he built that house.
Now, what would you wear? What were your clothes like when you worked for the railroad and cooked for the school? What did you wear to work?
Oh, we had more little pretty print dresses. I just wore little print dresses. I had a lot more clothes in than I have now. Because that was 10 cents a yard, and 3 yards to make a dress, 30 cents. But that took a right smart saving to get 30 cents together extra for clothes. You know? And Mama was a wonderful seamstress, and she made my dresses.
Even after you were grown?
Oh, yeah, after I
married. Working after you were married.
Yeah, she had a good Singer sewing machine.
Now, your mother, when you worked at the depot in the store, she still...
I did right around the corner there in the old plumbing house, you know.
Oh, in the C.L. Plumbing House by my parents.
Okay.
All right. And when you would be going to work and you'd pass by that house, did you ever stop there in the morning? What did you do when you'd stop at your parents' house?
I'd stop to see if one of them is feeling real bad.